Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is a Thursday of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. We are always thrilled to be with you. Coming up in our final hour, you know we're going to get you set for Thursday Night Football and a battle in the NFC East. Giants and Eagles in the Meadowlands in 20 minutes. Before we get started on Week 6, we'll rank our top five teams in the league and reveal our power rankings. Then we bring in the Donks to wrap things up at 8:40. Along with our favorite wagers on this Thursday. Welcome to our audience on Stadium. How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. As we stream our final hour, we do so on X as well. I'm Jink. She is Chelsea. And if you want to stream us, we make it easy for you. Just go to BallySportsLive.com and the Bally Sports Live app, along with YouTube TV, DirecTV, Amazon Prime, and Samsung TV Plus. Chelsea, Thursday Night Football. Here we go. Another week in the National Football League, and I think a pretty interesting matchup. The Eagles are big favorites in the Meadowlands against the Giants, laying 7.5. The Eagles minus 400. The Giants are plus 310. The total is 41, and I tend to lean Giants here, plus 7.5, but you can make a case for the Eagles that at some point maybe that offense gets together and takes advantage of this pretty bad Giants team. Not an official play, but how are you feeling about this game?
I just feel like there's too much volatility on both sides of the coin. Because for the Eagles, whenever you say something is a buy low spot, there is risk in that. Yeah. I don't want to bet on things like that. I want to bet on surefire things. So I'm going to go to the props world. Because it just feels like the numbers just don't support the Eagles this year. And I think one of the tougher things in betting is to take the team's name off the jersey and say, what do the numbers say about this team? And the numbers are not kind when it comes to this Eagles offense. And maybe they do right the ship tonight. Maybe it is a get-right spot against a team that they've beat up on in the past, winning 7 of their last 8 games against the Giants. But it's just not one of those things I want to bet on. Then you look at the Giants, and it feels like there is a ton of volatility with a team that's led by a couple of really young guys in Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo. We've seen their ceiling when they beat the Chargers and look amazing and the rush attack was really effective. And then you see them against the Saints, who are not a good team, and they're turning the ball over a ton, and they lose that game. So it just feels like on both sides of the equation, these are two sides that I don't really want to trust.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way as well. I think what it comes down to on my end is, can the Eagles move the ball against the Giants? They should be able to. Because the Giants, while they're very strong up front, aren't necessarily great against the run. At the same time, the Eagles have had plenty of chances through 5 weeks to show what they can do on offense. And what have they done? Like nothing. Like even against a poor defense, are we convinced that the Eagles can move the ball at a prolific pace? And one thing that I don't want to put my money on is, well, eventually they're going to. Like, yeah, they have the talent, but we haven't seen it. That's like the do theory. Like, they're due. They're due. And, you know, sometimes that does come true, right? When you have a big sample size, you know, it's like the Phillies last night. They're due to actually start hitting some long balls, right? These guys are too good. They were due, and it came home. But in the NFL, and in most cases, I don't want to put my money on something that hasn't happened yet that should happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's not something I want to put my money on. I will say, matchup-wise, it does feel like a good matchup for the Eagles if there were a get-right spot, because of what you mentioned. The Giants have not been good at stopping the run, giving up 5.3 yards per carry. And it feels like this is a very easy parallel to make the fact that we've been waiting on the Eagles to break out and the fact that we've been waiting for Saquon Barkley to break out. And he's going to be the big storyline tonight, of course, making his return to play the Giants, the team that he once played for. And it does feel like a revenge spot for him. But Saquon, man, his numbers have not been good this year, at least compared to what we saw last year. Somebody who's averaging just 3.2 yards per carry, only 267 yards total for the entirety of the season, only three touchdowns. Mm. So, Jenks, we have not seen the explosive runs from Saquon Barkley. His longest rush this year has been 17 yards. So maybe you say to yourself, okay, here's a buy low spot on a running back that was the best in the NFL last year. So the number's 81.5. That does feel low, but there is sabotage factors lurking. If this game gets out of hand, it feels like the Eagles are not going to wear him into the ground just because he has popped up on the injury report this week with some knee soreness. So I don't know. It just feels like I'm not going to be shocked if Saquon finally breaks out. And I do think the team is going to want to give him a chance to like prove it to the Giants once again. It's just, how many games of sample size do you need before you say, hey, maybe this is just what the Eagles' offense is?
That's where I stand right now. That's how I feel. I feel like, look, until we see otherwise, this is who you are. They are still trying to figure things out, and I don't quite know why. It's really interesting where, you know, teams do evolve throughout the season. There's no question. Some teams get better, some teams get worse, and we could absolutely be talking about the Eagles in a few weeks and be saying, wow, that offense has really come alive. It just hasn't happened yet. Same thing with Saquon. I will say when it comes to Saquon, though, and I do think this is important to point out, is that I know he has not performed. I know it has been a really down year. But I absolutely don't believe the idea that, oh, all of a sudden, you know how it is in the NFL, you hit a wall, you take too many hits, your production drops. His production has dropped off a cliff, like just completely fallen. So he's not slowing down, he just hasn't produced at all. And that makes me think this is more of an issue with the Eagles offense as a whole. And hasn't what we've seen sort of made that be the case? Like, no one is really being explosive here. Jalen Hurts hasn't had an amazing year. A.J. Brown is upset. He's been complaining publicly. Now, privately, he hasn't been amazing. Saquon hasn't either. Like, everyone on that offense is sort of struggling to produce at a high level. So I think the talent is still there for Saquon. It's just a matter of when or if we're going to see it. Maybe it'll be tonight, but I also feel like a lot of bettors are putting a little too much emphasis on the revenge factor. Production is production regardless of revenge.
Right, like that's, like, mentality goes a little bit in the NFL, but like at the end of the day, like, I don't know, like storylines don't rule the games, like talent and X's and O's really are the deciding factor. But everything on the Eagles offense, like, it just feels like it's complementary football. When the passing game is working, it sets up the run game. When the run game is working, it sets up the pass game. And right now, neither of those are really working efficiently. So maybe if one gets going, maybe we'll see the other one perform tonight. But let's get into some bets, because it feels like we don't really have a play on a side, or at least one that's making the card. So you mentioned this one. And I feel like this is going to be a popular one, especially for people who do same-game parlays, and you're looking for an anytime touchdown score. Right now at BetMGM, Jalen Hurts is minus 135 to score a touchdown. There is this play. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Tush Push. It's very effective, and it's where Jalen Hurts gets his tush into the end zone. I feel like based on that alone, like that play's unstoppable. It's not going to shock me if we see that tonight. And plus, I like betting on guys who have multiple ways that can get into the end zone. You know, whether it's Jalen Hurts on the tush push, or whether it's Jalen Hurts on a quarterback sneak, whether it's, you know, both of those things. I guess that's the only two options. But, like, that's my point, is that Jalen Hurts can score in multiple ways. So I think that's a great play. Jinx, is that going to make the card for you?
Maybe. I do like, and it's going in the wrong direction, but that's okay. I like that play a lot just because if you're talking about what's going to happen tonight, everyone's going to be on Saquon, and I get that. And yes, I think the Eagles will try to get him into the end zone. But at the end of the day, what is your number one priority? Your number one priority isn't to make sure Saquon is happy and getting some revenge against his former team. Your objective is to win the game. So if you get close down in the goal line, can't you see the Eagles running some sort of misdirection where they line up Saquon in the backfield and everyone thinks it's going to Barkley and then Jalen Hurts is the one who takes it in? Like, I can absolutely see that. And also, this is a really cheap price compared to what it normally is. Like, early in the season or even at the end of last year, an anytime touchdown for Jalen Hurts was sitting at minus 200 at least. Like, at least. This is a really cheap price on that. I also like Jackson Dart under 180.5 passing yards. So, who is Jackson Dart going to throw to? Malik Nabers is out for the season. Darius Slayton is out. So you've got Wandale Robinson. Okay, you have Theo Johnson at tight end. You have Cam Scadaboo. So he'll toss it around, but does he really have a deep threat or someone who can pick up big chunks across the middle or even down the sideline? No. These are going to be short, dumpy passes against this Eagles defense. And this is a rookie anyway who's still sort of trying to figure things out. Yeah, he was good against the Chargers because, you know, the Giants defense kept putting the Giants on short fields. Against the Saints, we saw Jackson Dart look like a rookie, turn over the football. So against this Eagles defense, which is still really good, I don't know if he gets this number. I know it's low, but I'm going to go under 180 in a hook for Jackson Dart.
Well, usually when the Giants are good, it means Jackson Dart is not throwing the football. Like, when he's throwing the football, it doesn't spell good things.
Right.
We saw it against the Saints last time where he threw the ball 40 times, but still only had 202 yards, which is crazy numbers. So it just, it feels like one of those where it doesn't feel to me like he's going to be very efficient or productive through the air. Maybe the attempts are there. It's just, I don't think the big chunk yardage plays are there. And I think that kind of leads me into my next play, is that I think we see a lot of short and dumpy passes to the running back. It feels like I play this almost every week in Thursday night football, but it makes a ton of sense. It's a short week, you know, especially if you have a young quarterback, you're going to dump it off to your running back. You can't get the ball down the field, you know, when you're panicking. And plus, we have seen Cam Scadaboo, who I am playing in this situation, have a much larger role in the offense now that Malik Nabers is out of the picture. So he had 6 catches for 45 yards last week against the Saints, and you get a low number on him. 13.5 yards is the play for Scadaboo. Tonight, I'm going to hit the over for minus 115. Feels like a good play, and I like these plays where it feels like they can get it in, like, one catch. Yeah. Or even 2 catches, you know? It just feels like he doesn't have to do that much to get that number. And why would you not rely on somebody who's a human wrecking ball? I know it's not the rush game, but still, I think he's going to be involved in the passing game as well.
Would you look at an under here? During the course of this show, this total has gone from 41 to 40.5. It's gone down another half point.
Ooh. Yuck.
I know. I know. Yuck is right. This is going to be a rock fight tonight. I'm still tempted to take the under.
I think the under is the play. Like, if I had to lean one direction or the other. But, like, Jinx, in reality, when you are sitting there and you are watching a football game, how terrible does it feel to root for an under when it's this low?
It sucks.
Because, like, think about it. It can be an absolute rock fight and still go over 40.5. Like, if this total ends 41, that's not a fun game to watch either. And it's just, I'm not going to do that to myself.
I would much rather cheer for a side, right? You know, where you've got some points, you're laying some points. That's the way to go. So, if you're a big baseball fan, but you like the under, here's what you do. You bet on the under, and then you watch baseball tonight. That's what you do. But I don't want to watch this game and cheer for 3 and outs. Like, oh, that's such a grind. Like, that sounds awful.
Well, and also, it's, you are banking on the Eagles' offense still not breaking out of their slump.
Yeah.
You know, because if the Eagles, you know, return to form and they score some points in this one, and here's the thing, if the game gets out of hand, I feel like the Giants can score in garbage time. I will say they are a team that feels like they're not going to quit just because they have a couple of young guns, you know, leading the offense, and guys like Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo. Like, nobody's looking at this team and saying, you guys are going to win a Super Bowl. No, they're going to have fun out there, and they're going to sling it around. So I don't know. It just feels like something I don't personally want to bet on. Do we think A.J. Brown has a good game? Like, I know he's wondering.
Good question.
He's not been somebody I want to bet on. But his numbers are still high, Jenks. 64.5 is not a low number for a receiver, as somebody who bets on, like, receivers every single week. That's still, like, kind of high. Like, he would need to get a couple of long receptions to possibly get this. But we know he's been complaining. Does he get the ball more in this game?
Maybe. I just don't know. And also, too, you know, if you're talking about such a low total, like if you want to make a case for the Eagles, you certainly can. But I never like laying 7.5 or a big number when the total is so low, because it tells you it's probably going to be a low scoring game. And I say that because it makes me worry about the A.J. Brown prop. It goes back to, oh, you know, eventually he's going to get his. Why? Because he had a talk with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Is that going to immediately cure the offense? I don't think so, you know?
And I also feel like at this stage where the Eagles are not dominating, they need to focus on winning the game.
1,000%. Like, win the game. This is not – the NFL is – this is not a weekend flag football game where you go out and make everybody happy. You're trying to stack dubs. Coming up next on the show, we'll have more NFL news. Stay right here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Thanks for being with us on a Thursday. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. You know what? Make it legendary. Let's go. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger coming up on the show. Before we get started on Week 6 tonight, Giants and Eagles, we will tell you how our power rankings have shifted in the league. So we touched on this a little bit. Little tiny bit in the previous segment, which is the A.J. Brown situation. And so you see the look on your face like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I know. So last week we saw A.J. Brown and he put a Bible verse online to express his frustration. And then he was asked about that and said, yeah, I just want people to know that, you know, I want the ball. It's like, yes, we know. We all know. We've known for years. But it didn't end there, because sort of under the radar a little bit, he had a meeting with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts earlier this week. So Barkley was asked about it. He said it was a good meeting. Hurts was asked about it and said, it's just teammates being teammates. The Eagles have the 30th ranked offense in the National Football League, which is why if I ever hear anyone saying, oh, Saquon has dropped off, I'm like, no, that whole offense is awful. But do these things ever work? Like, it's crazy to me that A.J. Brown did this publicly. It's clear he is unhappy. We all know, A.J., we all know. And yet, it took another meeting with Saquon and Jalen Hurts personally. How is that going to help play calling? How is that going to help things? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're not on the right page, you're not on the same page, you're not on the same page. If the scheme isn't working where you're not able to create explosive plays, what is Jalen Hurts going to do? What is Saquon going to do? Do you know what I mean? Maybe you're just smoothing things over with them, but I don't know why these meetings are necessary, and I don't know how they help. If they're just hanging out, okay, fine. But if this is a meeting to discuss how can we get A.J. Brown the ball, it goes way beyond just Jalen and Saquon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
I think more than anything, you've got to get yourself in the mindset of a Devo wide receiver. Because for me and you, it feels like we wouldn't need to have like a hands-on meeting to discuss my role in the offense. It feels like they are just trying to like pander to A.J. Brown here. And be like, okay, maybe if we fluff him up and say, listen, we're just trying to win football games right now. It's hard out here in the streets of the NFL. everybody has the target on our backs this year, and things are not going that well for any of us. Like, Saquon could be like, yeah, man, have you seen my numbers? They ain't great either. So I don't know what they talked about, but I do think that these type of personalities do need to be catered to. But, Jenks, I did see something that I feel like is pretty good gamesmanship.
Okay.
On the regard of Brian Daboll. Did you see what he said this week about A.J. Brown?
No.
He said, you watch the tape. A.J. Brown is open a lot. I feel like he's stirring the pot. Right?
Oh, my God. I love that. That's the perfect way to do it. I mean, look, the guy's open a lot.
He's open.
Yeah.
All the time.
A.J. Brown's like, that's right. I sure am. You're damn right. I'm open all the time. All the time. You see it. Why doesn't my quarterback see it? Stirring it. I mean, if you're Brian Daboll, why not? What do you have to lose? You're on the hot seat.
Right?
Like, okay, you're sort of keeping it at bay. Like, it's not scalding, but those cheeks are warm. Like, you're still on the hot seat. Why not, though? You got nothing to lose.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, when you have a personality like that on your team, people will try to use it against you. And in fact,
for sure,
like, the Eagles have been on, like, the barbecue spigot or whatever that thing is that they use, like Kenny Rogers
Grocers,
for the entire season, right? Like, people want to pick apart whoever's on top of the mountaintop. So it's been pretty easy this year. And when you give, you know, free ammo to other teams saying, okay, we've been having issues with A.J. Brown, aren't you going to hone in on that? Why would you not?
Yeah. Did you just mention Kenny Rogers Roasters, by the way? Well done.
Yes, and I'm thinking of rotisserie chicken.
I was too. That sounds great. That sounds awesome.
Right?
I thought about that, and then I was like, how about some Boston Market? That sounds good. And then immediately, ooh, I was like, focus on what Chelsea's saying. I know. You know, I get distracted. I know. I was like, lock it in. Come on. Why am I on the radio? What are you doing? That was a good call. The barbecue spigot. I mean, you're right, though. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do. Maybe, you know, narratives can change like that in the NFL. So who knows? Maybe tomorrow we're talking about, oh, things finally opened up. I just don't know if I see it, but there's always a shot. Maybe that talk will end up opening something up for Philly tonight in the Meadowlands. Okay, let's throw out our top five teams this week.
Jenks and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
This is power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever.
I love that He-Man sounder, Double D. God, I used to watch He-Man all the time growing up. I love that. Freaking hold his sword up, get struck by lightning, and then bring it down and yell, I have the power. So cool. I'm a child. Chelsea, let's do top five in the NFL. These change from week to week. And we don't like to overreact, but certainly you can see different things that make you think, okay, I like this team here, this team there. So let's hear your top five.
I'm looking at my list, and now I feel like I left somebody off. We'll talk about it in a second, but here's the list, and we can argue about it. So until proven otherwise, like, here's the thing. PSA, before you pick apart my list, it feels like there is no team in the NFL that doesn't have his flaws. So keep that in mind when I have my power rankings. So number one, I'm still going to go with the Eagles. I understand they lost this past week, but that is to a damn good Broncos defense, and that's their only loss on the season. Like, if we're treating this like the AP top 25, like, I feel like based on the results, the Eagles are still number one for me, and they are the reigning Super Bowl champs. Maybe they figure it out, but, you know, one of the few teams in the NFL that only has one loss to their name. Number two, we're going to go with the Bills. I still have questions about their defense, and, of course, they are coming off a loss as well. I think that some of the problems in that game against the Patriots can be rectified, and they weren't, like, characteristic problems of turning the ball over. So the Bills are still a very good team. Number three, going to go with the Lions. I feel like the Lions have been a perennial power in the NFC, and even losing both of their coordinators, they still look like a dominant team with a extremely high-powered offense. So for that reason, they are number three. Number four, going to go with the Bucs. I feel like Baker Mayfield is flying under the radar still.
Yeah.
People don't want to give him credit. He's putting up MVP-type numbers this season. Does he win it? Probably not. But the Bucs also have a very good run defense to go with it as well. Number five, going to go with the Rams. I still think, even though they lost to the Niners, that was a great head coaching matchup. And I still think the Rams, like, if I'm any team in the NFC, that's a team I do not want to face in the postseason. And then I'll say honorable mention, Jenks, neither of us have the Colts on our list. Maybe I should have put them on. It's just, as a Titans fan, I hate the Colts, and I don't want to talk about them. So there's my list.
I always find it funny when people hate the Colts. It just goes to show I haven't been to the Midwest. It just cracks me up. I'm like, you hate the Colts? Who hates the Colts?
Well, they're division rivals.
No. I get it. Like, it's just not my wheelhouse, right? Because even in Texas, I was always about the NFC East. I never liked the Cowboys, mm-hmm. but certainly that was the division that, you know, everybody talked about because Dallas was right there. And then I come here and I fall in love with DC and I'm a Commanders or Redskins fan. And so I've always been like NFC East, NFC East, NFC East. And then every now and then I'll hear someone say, yeah, I hate the Colts. I don't know why. It just strikes me as funny. But, of course, I get it. It's a divisional rivalry. Just, do you believe in the Colts yet? I mean, regardless, hate aside, they look really good.
They have the best points differential in football right now. They are 4-1.
They're legit.
Maybe it's time to start respecting them. I think the problem for me, and I said this is like the AP rankings, which maybe there is some respect carried from year to year, where certain teams get a little bit more credit, and maybe the Colts just don't get that in my book yet, because I understand their offense looks amazing right now, but Jenks, would you bet on them to win the Super Bowl? Like, it feels like these type of teams, like, need a year to progress. Like, I feel like this has been the Chargers for me, where, like, the Chargers look good in the regular season, but they have been unable to take that next step. Maybe it's this year. I don't know with that offensive line. But do you get what I'm saying? It's just, it feels like you need to be, like, in the power rankings for a while, for a couple of years, before making, like, the huge leap to winning a Super Bowl.
They don't remind me, but I was going to say it's similar in some ways to what we saw at the Commanders, right, last year, in that, look, they're built differently, and you're not going to compare Danny Dimes to, you know, JD5. But what I'm saying is they came in with no expectations at all, and they have a new quarterback, all right, or like someone who is, you know, new to the franchise at least. And then all of a sudden they way overperform relative to expectations, and I think they can go a long way, but there's probably a few pieces missing to keep them from winning at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're definitely improved. So I think because of that, you probably just put maybe a sprinkle on them just in case crazier things have happened. But I certainly don't think when they get to the top tier teams in the NFL that they can hang with them. But they're a legit football team.
I will say this. It does feel like the AFC isn't quite as deep this year. Like, if there's a year for volatility in the AFC, it's this year, because Joe Burrow is out. Like, I don't believe in the Bengals. The Ravens are having a disaster of the season, which means Lamar Jackson is out. And the Chiefs look beatable, you know, but we've said that before, and they've gone to a Super Bowl. So it just feels to me like it's like, hey, you got to beat the Bills. And that's still a very tall task. But I don't know what the odds are on the Colts to win the AFC. But as long as they get to the AFC Championship, you have one side of the coin for what I would imagine is pretty good plus money.
Yeah, it's worth just taking a look at. That's all. And by the way, when you look at the Colts, what they've done this season, they should probably be undefeated. I hate to boil everything down to one play because, you know, a football game is never really about one play. But also when you have A.D. Mitchell give up that touchdown, like, that's, I mean, there's a difference between, okay, you know, this is a fumble, it's an interception, and I'm walking, running into the end zone, and I let go of the football before I should. I mean, it changes the complexion of the game. Saw it with the Cardinals last week. Colts could be undefeated right now. Okay, little top five here on my end. I'm going to go, let's start with five. Packers at five. So we haven't heard much about the Packers, and they are really banged up on the offensive line, but these are not season-ending injuries, so they are going to get better. They've had a week to, you know, get ready for today's beatdown, or this weekend's beatdown against the Bengals, which is coming. Joe Flacco, what are we doing? Anyway, Packers, I still think, are very, very good and a little under the radar right now because they haven't been playing, so I'll take them at five. At four, how about Tampa? I know you like the Bucs as well. Look, Baker Mayfield right now is the third favorite to win Most Valuable Player. That is unbelievable to think about. Where he goes to Cleveland, he's essentially a bust. He looks like a journeyman. He has gone from an essentially a journeyman quarterback. Browns, what, Panthers, Rams. Now he's in Tampa playing as good as anyone in the NFL. Bucks are 4-1. They keep finding ways to win. I dropped down the Eagles to 3. I don't want to punish them too much because I don't care about style points. It's all well and fine to watch a team that scores a lot of points. At the end of the day, you're just trying to win football games. And Eagles have still won 20 of their last 22. That is so hard to do in the NFL. I'm not going to punish them for losing last week too much. At number 2, the Lions. The Lions might be number 1. They just need to... I want to see them against Kansas City. And Kansas City is going to come out this weekend. And they're going to play like it's the Super Bowl. Their season isn't on the line, but they cannot drop to 2-4. Also, the Lions have beaten the Bears, Ravens, Browns, and Bengals. So I need to see them hang with a good team. And number 1, I'm still going with the Bills. They're battle-tested. They weren't going to go 17-0. They still hung with New England despite turning over the football 3 times. So I am now, once again, usually they're vacillating between 1 and 2. I'm going with Buffalo.
Yeah, and I can see that. And without looking, I would imagine the Bills are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Are they not? Like, that's my guess. Yeah.
You got it. Nailed it.
So, like, that's the thing. And even when it comes to, like, the MVP race, like, Josh Allen looks like he stands alone, especially because of the process of elimination that we have with big quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, the AFC North is in shambles. Like, Aaron Rodgers, like, the Steelers are fine, but, like, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win MVP. And also, I think there is a trust factor with some of these proven commodities when it comes to the postseason. I know these rankings are not based on, like, who we think is, you know, going to win in the postseason, like, they're regular season rankings. But it's just, like, I am more apt to trust somebody like Josh Allen as opposed to, you know, somebody a little bit further down the list, like we've been talking about the Colts, as opposed to Daniel Jones. Like, are you going to be shocked if it's similar to what we saw from Sam Darnold last year, where Sam Darnold had this great season, and then, I don't want to say he turned into a pumpkin, because, like, it's one bad game, but, like, still, it's not going to shock me if we see that type of season from the Colts.
Oh, I would love if Daniel Jones won the MVP. The Giants would look in the mirror and be like, well, Saquon left, and he looked awesome, and Daniel Jones left, and he won the MVP. Mm. It's us, isn't it? It's us. Coming next on the show. We're the problem. A little bit of everything on the schedule tonight. We'll tell you where we're putting our cash. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Oh, yeah. All right, Chelsea. You get a chance to clarify. We need a chance to tie the bow on this conversation before we came back on the air. You were saying this picture of Vladdy Jr. is so cute. We thought it was from last night, but it's him as a kid.
No, because obviously he has a father that played in the major leagues, Vlad Guerrero Sr. So this is the cool thing about kids who are legacies. You have all these like AP photos of them when they were like 5, and they're just so cute. And especially Vladdy Jr. because he's like this chubby little kid that has like the same build that he has now. And he's just sitting there with his hand over his heart, and he's standing with the rest of the team. And it's just one of those really cute things. Like, I've seen pictures of Patrick Mahomes like this, you know, with his dad when his dad played for the Twins. That's adorable as well. And so, like, the caption on this was, like, from Baseball is Dead, an account on Twitter, is, this is who is burying the Yankees in the ALDS. And you're just like, oh, what a sweetie. Sweet in both regards.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I didn't ask. It's been a couple days since we're talking baseball. And we're talking kids who love the sport.
Oh, look at him,
my
Jinx.
God, look at that. That's him. Oh, my God, that is cute. All right, you're right.
I told you.
I know you told. Well, you never know. I mean, sometimes you'll see a kid and you're like, eh, that kid's all right. I mean,
FM
I know.
Kids.
They're kids.
MJs.
I'm like, oh,
Michael
this kid's
Jordan
yes.
And Michael Jenkins.
Yes. F them kids. All kids are supposed to be cute, and I love children, but every now and then I'm like, eh, I don't know about that one. It's an exception to the rule. I was going to ask about Blake, sweet Blake, and her baseball journey, because it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't know how she did Tuesday night. How'd it go?
Well, they don't have games because it's fall break. So they follow the same schedule as Sumner County Schools, so they don't have games this week. So it's been like me trying to entertain her for a full week. Yesterday, we went to the pool, and so I swam laps while she spent an hour in Y Play, and then I go get her, and then we work on her swimming. So we did a full swim workout with her yesterday. Her strokes are getting better, but it's just hard to, you know, work on so many different things because I'm trying to work with her on softball. She likes playing soccer. I got to make sure she's reading. So it's like you're pulled in so many different directions, and I understand kids specialize more now than ever.
Yeah.
But like you want them to be good and try a lot of different things. So it's just like trying to divide up all your time to try to help them be good at a lot of things. And it's difficult.
Yeah. And then it helps them eventually pick a path, right? They try different things and then they're exposed to different things, be it sports, arts, whatever it is. And then they say, oh, I don't like this, but I really like this. So I mean, that's a great thing to do. I know it takes a lot of time though.
Yeah. And I think it's difficult when I'm like, hey, we need to go practice your swing for softball. When she's like, can we read for a little more? I'm like, reading?
Yeah.
We had a game on Tuesday.
Reading.
So maybe I need to...
Yes. Let that child
lean into
read.
The school a bit more.
Reading? Look at your TikTok right now. What are you doing? Like, come on. Look at these dances you can do after you score. Coming up next on Bet Sweats. Bet Sweats. Joe O, Sammy P will have their favorite Major League Baseball plays and Thursday night football plays as well. I was texted with Sammy P yesterday. We're going to be on the right side on the Texas game this weekend. So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm excited about that. Ian Harditz joins at 10 o'clock, and then Carl Johnson joins at 11:20. That is in Mirror Moments with Joe O and Sammy P. All right. Cards are locked and loaded. Let's get to it.
Time to place your bets.
Chelsea, where are we going tonight?
All right. Play of the day in Thursday night football is going to be Cam Scataboo, running back for the Giants, over his receiving prop of 13.5 for -115. I feel like this is one of my favorite system plays for Thursday night football. When it's a short week, the short and dumpy passes to the running back feel like a solid play, especially when you have a young quarterback going against a pretty tough defensive line when you're facing the Eagles. Plus, we saw this last week. Since the Giants are struggling at receiver depth, now that Malik Nabers is out for the season, they have been using Cam Scataboo more in the receiving game. Had 6 catches for 45 yards, even had a longest reception of 15 yards. So if he gets that tonight, we get it boom in one play, and that's what I want to see. I want to see it in the first quarter, and I want to go to bed at halftime. So let's hope he hits this number of 13.5. It is a low number. Cam Scataboo over his receiving prop of 13.5 for -115.
Did you say you bring the boom? Is that what you said?
No, I'm not the Rizzler.
That's what I was going for. Thank God the Rizzler. I mean, he had his moment. Are they still making music? Probably. Oh. Then you would know.
The Rizzler's moment lives on forever.
Oh,
they
my,
will never not be a moment for the
my
Rizzler.
Bad.
That's a negative boom for Jenks.
We should definitely have booms
Stan.
And negative booms.
Negative booms.
Negative booms.
Booms.
Yeah. Dylan says 5 big booms for Chelsea's best bet. Oh, this is, should definitely become a thing way after that. 5 big booms. Okay. Here's my 2-boom baseball bet for you. Dodgers, money line, -120. I just don't know if the Phillies can make it back-to-back wins against L.A. Yeah, Kyle Schwarber went off yesterday. He was awesome. But you've got Christopher Sanchez going up against Tyler Glasnow today. And Sanchez has faced the Dodgers a lot this season, which I like. Those Dodgers bats are accustomed to seeing him. And he's been okay, 2 runs and 5 2/3 in game one, allowed 4 runs in 7 innings back on September 16th, allowed 4 runs in 5 2/3 back in April. Tyler Glasnow has been terrific in L.A. this season, a 2.77 ERA. Opponents are batting 177 against him. The Dodgers went 52-29 at home this year, one of the best records in baseball. Also, Roky Sasaki ready to roll in that Dodgers bullpen. And again, the Dodgers have lost back-to-back games only twice this season at home. I think it's a good prize on a team that should win this series, and I think they do it tonight. Let's go Dodgers on the money line at minus 120.
If I were to lean towards a side, it would be the Dodgers. In fact, I like both of your baseball plays today.
Thank you, Chelsea. I need the reinforcement. So this is kind of a shot in the dark here. Brewers money line against the Cubs. We don't know who is starting for either team. I'm taking the Brewers on the money line, minus 120. The simple handicap is the Cubs got theirs. You know, that's why we have 162 games in the regular season, while we have a 5 or 7 game series in the playoffs. The underdogs will get theirs, but eventually the better team usually wins. I think that happens tonight in Chicago with the Brewers. I think Freddy Peralta is going to go for Milwaukee. I hope so. 2 runs or less in 10 of his last 11. So Matthew Boyd would potentially go for the Cubs. So this would be a rematch, really, of what we saw in Game 1, where Matthew Boyd went 2/3 of an inning and got pulled in what was a big Brewers victory. As Sammy P likes to say, are you really going to trust Matthew Boyd? I am not. Now, maybe he won't go tonight. I don't know. But I think the Milwaukee bats are going to be the difference here. And we saw an anomaly yesterday, which is the Cubs getting 4 off of Quinn Priester. That happens in baseball, but I think we revert to the mean and the Brewers close things out. Let's go Brewers on the money line at minus 120. And we got one more bet. I am going to have a bet tonight for Thursday Night Football, which I don't normally bet a lot of props, but I do like this one. Jackson Dart under 180.5 passing yards. Now, the sabotage factor here is that, okay, the Eagles jump out to a lead. The line tells you that the Eagles should dominate this game, and then the game script is, all right, the Giants have to get back in it. Dart has to go to the air, and then the overhits. But I don't know if the Eagles are going to put up enough points to make that the game script. The Eagles' offense is ranked 30th in the NFL. The number keeps going down as far as the total. I think we're going to see a close game. I think the Giants are probably going to cover. And also, who is Jackson Dart going to throw to? Malik Nabers out for the season. Darius Slayton is not going to play in this game. So he's got Wandell Robinson, Theo Johnson, Cam Scatterbo in the flat. Like, these are guys that don't rack up a lot of yards per catch. So I think he goes under here. Let's go under 180 in a hook for Jackson Dart.
Ah, I was looking at pictures of cute sports kids. Whatever happened to Riley Curry? Remember when she like had the NBA in a chokehold? Wonder what she's up to.
I don't know. Is she in school now? I don't know how old she is.
You do not want to see what she's up to because it's going to make you feel old AF.
Is she in school?
She looks she's like a teenager now.
Oh, my God.
I knew it. That was almost 10 years ago.
That's the thing. Time flies so quickly, and then you're like, oh, yeah, she's getting her degree in biochemistry. And you're like, what? That girl? You know, something like that. Happens all the time. Brutal. I remember yesterday, Vladdy Jr. was just a cute kid, you know, standing right there on the base pass. Here he is, making jokes with Big Poppy on the air. He's just a doll. He'll knock out the Yankees one day. All right, Dogster, get on in here. We got to get to Joe O.
I love to cook. And when I'm not here, I'm usually in the kitchen.
Being serious right now?
Here's a crock pot recipe that everyone can use. First of all, put on your apron. Clothes optional.
All right, Doctor.
Then grab the cherries and the whipped cream.
It's not a real recipe, Doctor.
Now, pull out something I like to call the slow cooker.
Ugh. All right. What is your plan?
Giants plus 7.5 against the Eagles.
Okay. What's coming up next on Bad Sweats? For that, we bring in our guy, Joe Ostrowski. Joe O, good morning.
Morning. Let it marinate, Donkster.
Let it. There you go. Let it marinate. That MGM.
Jake's, it sounds like I'm saying it's official, even though it's not official. I feel like we were the only ones that said it right away. Mateer's playing. This number
he's playing, right.
Keeps dropping. He's playing. Playing. Like, you said it right away. Like, I've seen this a million times from Oklahoma. It's Red River. He's playing. Look at where they are right now compared to previous years. There's no doubt about it.
Either he's going to play or they're going to pull the whole Dylan Gabriel. Where
see the Heisman odds?
Is he jumping up?
Oh, they keep dropping. It was like 100 last week. Now it's 10 to 1.
Maybe worth a sprinkle. I think they might. I also think they might pull him out there and then be like, oh, you're not ready. I don't know. It's always the Sooners trying to pull something. That's going to do it for here. A Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Have a great Thursday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.